about what we spoke about. And then as the night goes along, we're going to once again introduce a topic specifically to pray for and then take a few minutes to pray for that. The Lord, over the last probably 6 weeks, been working my heart in some different things. And one thing that he's worked in my heart about is us as a church praying more often together and trying to find a specific time that would work for a church family besides Wednesday night that all we would do is pray. Still working on the day and the time for that. But today, I know probably most of you know there was a shooting in Elizabeth City that could cause some unrest or protests and things like that. And the Lord gets kind of laid upon my heart to have some special times of prayer. And I think it would be good. And we're here to meet with the Lord. And one of the best times I ever meet with God is when I spend time praying. And hopefully it will be an encouragement to you tonight. Hopefully it'll be a blessing. I know this is not brand new. It might be new for some of you, but we have done where we spent the whole Wednesday night praying for a specific thing coming up, whether it's for a revival or a missions conference. We don't do it too often, but we do it sometimes. And I think tonight, I think it'll be good if we look at this. First thing I want to think about and the first thing we're going to focus on is praising the Lord or getting the right type of mindset as we enter our prayer time. I know the discussion is, should we do confession first or praise first? And I know for years it was something I would always confess, but as I was reading and studying over a few, last few years ago, it helps me understand I got to get a good vision of who God is before I'm ever going to truly see how wicked I am. If I go to God with the things that I think's wrong with me, my list might be just a little short. But if I go to God and spend some time in his presence, spend some time seeing his holiness, spend some time just praising him, you know what, my list gets a lot longer that way. So I want to encourage you tonight, and this is probably this portion is probably going to be the longest time that I speak or talk. But there's a few things I like to remind you about God, and especially at a time of upheaval or a time where things might be unsettling for some. First thing I want you to think about is, and we're going to use the name that the Hebrew name, Jehovah Jireh, which means the God who provides. And you see here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, and most of us know this verse. It talks about how, we'll go to verse number 17, Paul speaking to the church of Philippi and how they once again had given him a gift to him. And he says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that it may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which are sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And I know most of us use that verse when it comes to financial things. God's going to meet your needs. But praise the Lord, I serve a God that doesn't just meet our financial needs. He can provide and meet any need that we have. And I began thinking about some of the different times that God's provided in the Bible. Some different times when God has stepped in and showed himself real, and he just reminds me. I think probably the first one that came to my mind, probably one of my favorite ones, is when Abraham has been asked of God to do something that was really difficult and sacrificing Isaac. But then right over there in the brush at the right time, there was a ram that was there. Even though God was asking Abraham to do something that was very, very difficult, and some people would say living today a holy life is very difficult, God is able to provide something right there for us. And he's able to supply all our needs. And then I began thinking about different other things. I think about how he provided for the nation of Israel while they're in the wilderness. Imagine the manna over and over. I mean, we hear stories like that, but it's amazing that each day there would be new food sitting there. Imagine about the shoes never being worn out. And unfortunately, probably only one pair of shoes. I know some of you ladies might struggle with that, but just one pair of shoes and never wears out. And it's amazing how God provided. You know, he opened up the Red Sea. He provided in so many different ways. Then I thought about Elijah by the brook Cherith being fed by the ravens. And, you know, it's supernatural things that God can do. So when we come to a spot of what in the world can we do as we can pray? And he said, is that all we can do? No, there's more, but we shouldn't do anything till we pray. And if we're really, truly going to spend time with God and get true direction and leadership from God, we're going to have to see who God is. And we're going to have to be willing to spend some time with him. And so I would encourage you to think about how he provided a payment for our sins, probably the greatest need of all time. And he came, and look how he provided for that. He gave himself. And so we're thankful that he was able to provide that way. And I'm excited to say he can provide still today. He can still provide. You think about in Psalm 23, he can provide a table in the wilderness, yes, but in the presence of my enemies, that he can prepare a table, prepare a table in the presence of my enemies. And the spot where we don't think he can provide, that's the spot where he provides for us. And that's how we need to pray, is, Lord, provide unto me those things you want me to have, all those needs that you have promised us. So I don't know about you, but that is an encouraging thing for when there's times of turmoil or times of struggle. You're like, what can I do? We can trust that God will provide everything we need. No matter what is happening, no matter what we're going through, he says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Just like he provided the ram, he provided the manna, he provided the meat, he provided for our sins. He is a God that can provide. That's Jehovah Jireh. Then I also thought about Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. He is a God that can provide peace. We live in a world today that's not filled with peace. We live in a world that's full of lies. And it seems like our media has gotten worse and worse and likes to manipulate things for a certain cause and a certain reason. And there's a world out there that is full of anxious and turmoil. And then you come inside a church house, you know what you find? You find a bunch of people that are still worried and anxious and full of turmoil. But there is a God who offers us and says, you can not only have peace, but you can have perfect peace. Not only perfect peace, you can have a peace that passes all understanding. And it's amazing that you saw some of the great times in the Bible where people were faced with circumstances that were so overwhelming, we don't even know how they made it through, but they had a peace during that time, a peace that passed understanding. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could be in the fiery furnace, when Daniel could be in the lion's den, when David's out there against Goliath, there's an inner peace that's there. Is that because of something that's they have attained? No, it's something that God offers us. Think about some of the verses that's found in Ephesians 2:14, for he is our peace. And God cannot give peace to others that do not know him. He cannot give peace that passeth all understanding. But for a believer, we can say, God, you can provide. And God, not only can you provide things for us, you can provide everything I need, even peace. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then it continues on, finally, brother, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. And so I want to encourage you tonight, we should praise the Lord for the fact he's able to provide, but not just provide, he's able to give us peace. And when he said, Pastor, that's nothing new, but when's the last time you thanked him for that? When's the last time you held on to him for that? When's the last time you believed that? And as you believe that, you let your worry and your anxiousness go away. You're willing to let go and say, God, you're the one in charge. I'm going to let you lead me and guide me. And the last one I want you to think about is, and I don't know how to pronounce the second word, but it's Jehovah, and it's R-O-P-H-E, Roph. It's the Lord that heals. The only hope for our country is God. It's getting worse and worse. It's becoming more and more immoral. There's more and more people that you cannot trust. It's obvious that the mentality that's out there today from many people, not all, and I still think there's probably a majority of people out there that has some common sense, but it's not the ones being heard or listened to or pushed to the forefront. But he's the one that can heal our country. He's the one that can heal our own lives. Psalms 103, verses 2 and 3 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. So, he's able to. Psalms 147, verse 3 is probably my favorite verse about the healing. It says, he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Man, there's a lot of people broken in heart tonight. a lot of people who are struggling, and even believers who haven't spent time just sitting down and saying, Lord, I'm hurt and I need you. I need you to heal up these wounds. I need you to help me understand and also show me what I need to change. And probably the most famous verse when it comes to healing is 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. You know, there's a promise there. I mean, it is something that's written there. There's a promise, and we're going to talk a little bit about that when it comes to praying for our country. But our focus is right now is trying to focus on God during our prayer time. And I would encourage you to, you can pray individually. If you want to pray with somebody, you can. Later on, there's going to be other times when you can pray with someone. But as you're praising the Lord, I would encourage you to either find somebody to pray with or just pray individually concerning this and just ask God to reveal, you know, to meet with you tonight and say, Lord, I want to praise you for the fact that you can provide for me. And God, I want to praise you that I can have a peace that passeth all understanding. I want to praise you that you can heal. And instead of asking God for anything specific right now, spend a little bit of time just worshiping him for these three different things. And then I'm going to come and I'm going to close this in this section of our prayer time. And then as it goes along, we will look at probably four or five other ones. But we'll spend probably 3 or 4 minutes here praying. Don't make good use of this time. I know it's unlike a normal Wednesday night service, but it's a great time to meet with the Lord and spend time with him. And a great time to get our heart focused on him and our needs instead of what the world is saying, this is what you should be paying attention to. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we enter into your presence tonight, I pray that you give each person here tonight a heart's desire to really, truly want to spend time with you and meet with you tonight. They won't let these little prayer times just slip away, but instead each person will on purpose seek your face, and Lord, allow you to make a difference in their life as they seek after you. Lord, I know prayer means different things to different people, and people have closer relationships with you than others, and sometimes prayer is easier for some because they're not as used to it or maybe not as far away from you. But Lord, as we enter into your presence, Lord, we're reminded, what a great reminder that you are the one that can provide for us. We need so many things. We're a needy people. Lord, we need your power. We need your leadership. We need your guidance. And we see how you provided for so many in the past. And we know that you're the same God and you're not a respecter of persons. And the day and time that we live right now, we need some provisions here, Lord, when it comes to what you want us to do next. God, we're asking for you to work in our lives and in our midst, providing for each of our needs, answering our prayers, Lord, and Lord, so you can get glory and honor for the things that you do in our midst. Lord, we're asking for you to provide those things, as it says, according to your word, all your need. Lord, it's according to his riches and glory. Lord, as we consider how much you provide, it can give us a peace. In a world that is full of so much turmoil and so much hate and so much uncertainty, in a world that seems like it's crashing down even in front of us and around us, and we're not surprised by this because we know that there's a lot of darkness and wickedness in this world. And Lord, people cannot know peace, and they will not have peace, and they will not be able to live peacefully until they know you. And the world will always be filled with unbelievers and believers. And Lord, there's that living in peace is something that's going to happen someday, but it's something that we can ask for, is the peace that you can only provide. That peace that you are, that peace that you provide through salvation, that peace that passes all understanding. And it's amazing, Lord, how you say we can even have perfect peace. God, help us to seek that by keeping our minds on you. And Lord, also we're encouraged by thinking about how you can heal us. I don't know what different people are struggling with tonight. I can't see inside their hearts. I know some of their stories and some of their requests. But there is a lot of people that need to be healed. Relationships that need to be healed, friendships that need to be healed, bitterness, other things, God. And you say in your word, he healeth the broken heart and bindeth up their wounds. I think about that good Samaritan that bound up the wounds of that person that's laying on the side of the road. Those religious leaders kept on walking by him, didn't have any interest. But there was one that says, I'll take time to heal. I'll take time to bind up the wounds. And God, I pray that we take the time by looking into your word and by praising you and seeing you as the one who does heal. Lord, not just us, but also our country too. Thank you, Lord, for being a Lord, a God that can provide, a God that can offer peace and does offer peace, but also the one that can heal us. In Jesus' name, amen. So the second thing that we're going to look at tonight and spend a few minutes on is confession of sin. And you say, Pastor, what's the big deal about that? Is the Bible talks about if we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord's not going to hear us. There really isn't any need of praying if you put something before God. Just no sense living in sin and keep on trying to pray. You talk about people who prayers don't hit anything but the ceiling. And I know that they're talking about that as an unbeliever for most time, but Christians that are continually living in sin and do not want to get it right, the Lord says he's not going to hear you. So, Pastor, how can I know what's right? Well, I think one of the most important times when it comes to confession is asking the Lord to search us. You know, as you've been into his presence, you see his holiness, and you realize we've fallen so short. But even when we say that, sometimes we don't even realize how we've offended God because we don't know his word. Or maybe we're not in tune with him. That's why he says in Psalms 139, verses 23, 24, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." David doesn't really have to say, "Lord, I want you to know this about me." God already knows that. But what David's wanting is, "Lord, reveal those things unto me." Brother Van Gelderen called it blind spots. You know, it's, you know, see if there's something in my heart and life that has affected me. See if there's something that's missing. See if there's something that is needed. And God, please help me to know what is wrong so I can confess it. The Bible says, "He that covereth sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy." And then Psalms 51, verse 17, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise." If we really, truly want to meet with God, it begins seeking after him and continues by saying, "Lord, I want to be completely right with you." It says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For the Lord searcheth the hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee, but if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off." I want to encourage you tonight, you're going to spend a few minutes just making sure our hearts are right with the Lord. And don't just kind of pass by this time. If your heart is right, I think we can praise him for being able to be clean. If our hearts are right, we can say, "Thank you, Lord, for giving me victory over here and giving me victory over sin." And I know this might be a challenge for some of us to have 5 or 6, 3 or 4 minute prayer times, but in all reality, it shouldn't be that hard for us. This should be normal and common that we spend time with God. And if it is a struggle, then ask the Lord to help you. So let's spend a little bit of time talking, praying to him, confessing to him anything in our lives that may be hurting our relationship. And once again, if we cover those sins and we don't bring it out in the open before the Lord, he says you're not going to find mercy. But when you confess, which means agree with God and forsake them, you shall find mercy. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm thankful for the opportunity to be right with you. Lord, there's some amazing thought that I can be in tune with you. And Lord, I pray that we seek after that. Lord, I pray that as you reveal things into our heart about things that we struggle in or things that we may not even realize is an offense to you, Lord, thank you for revealing it. But Lord, also help us have the courage to take care of it. In many people's hearts, there are some pet sins they just rather not deal with. And many times that's the reason why we struggle with praying is because our hearts are not in tune. Lord, I pray you convict us of that and we repent of those sins. And Lord, we confess them and forsake them. Lord, we really, truly need you today. And what this world needs is Christians that have clean hearts, seeking after you and asking you to help us. Lord, beseeching you, bringing our requests to you. I pray that if there's something in someone's heart tonight that they just haven't gotten right, that they forget about the rest of the points and they spend their prayer time just making sure that their heart is right. And Lord, as we proceed on, help us to stay focused and help us to understand as we speaking to the Almighty God as a group, as we pray for something specific, there's 40 or 50 people praying at the same time, and what a difference that can make. In Jesus' name, amen. So well, the other ones will go a little bit quicker. Revival. You say, so what's the need? I think the first thing is understanding who God is. Second thing is making sure we are right. The third thing is what can really help our country, what can really help our churches, is the reviving of God's people. And we focus so much on the sin of the world today that we miss out the fact that the world is acting like the world. Their sinners are acting like sinners. It's the church house that there's many of us need to be revived and things that are refreshing and renewing. So specifically praying for revival for ourselves and in our heart, but also for our revival meeting coming up with Brother McBride. Isaiah 57:15 is probably my favorite verse when it comes to revival. It says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity." This is what God is saying, "whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place." And we all understand that. We all get that. God is high. He's lifted up. And then he continues on, "with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite ones." And that what the Bible is saying here, if we will have a contrite and humble spirit, he will revive the spirit of the humble. He will revive the spirit of the contrite ones. It's exciting to know that God is willing to bring back to life in our relationship to make it a new and fresh day after day. Psalms 85:6 put it this way, "Will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" And the Lord wants to revive us. The Lord wants our spiritual life to be something that is not lethargic. He wants it to be close, a personal relationship. And yes, there are down times. And yes, there are times when we are contrite. There are times when we are brokenhearted. But he is willing and able to revive us. So our prayer time now is focusing on specifically praying for Brother McBride, specifically praying for the messages, praying for the invitations, praying that God will work, maybe see people saved, see people's hearts revived, and also for revival in our own hearts, and revival specifically in our own hearts, but also in the hearts of the people at our church, and hearts in the churches across America. And we truly need a mighty moving of God, but we haven't seen one for such a long time. We wonder if it's possible. But he's giving us promises, and I believe God wants to bless, and God wants to revive, but we have to be willing to, as it says, "I dwell in the high and holy place with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit." Are we contrite and humble tonight? If we don't see revival happen in our hearts, is it because of the fact that God only chooses who he wants to revive, or is it that we're not seeking after him like we could? Let's spend a few minutes praying for revival. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, once again, we're coming and asking because we're very needy people. Lord, you're the high and lofty one. You're not moving from there. It's who you are. But Lord, you've said that you're interested and willing to revive those that have the spirit of the humble and revive the heart of the contrite ones. Lord, I pray that we have a contrite and humble spirit and that we see reviving in our own hearts day by day. Lord, you make things anew and afresh and exciting every single day in our Christian walk. And Lord, that we not be a church that is dead, a church where God doesn't touch anyone and no one reaches out to God. We don't want our place, our heart church, to be like that. Lord, we want it to be a place that is fresh and new, Lord, rejoicing in your word, Lord, seeing you move, seeing you work day after day. Help us to be faithful in praying for revival. We pray specifically for Brother McBride as he's coming. Thank you for how he's been a blessing. We know there's people inside this room that's been saved while he, during his preaching time while he's been here. And we just praise you for that, God. We want to see more people saved. We pray you work in Brother McBride's heart specifically about what messages you would want him to give here, that he would be holy and that he'd be clean, right with you, and filled with the Spirit of God. And Lord, that each message would have a special emphasis that you speak to our hearts about each of our hearts in a specific way. God, I pray as you keep him safe as he's traveling. I pray you meet his needs and provide his needs. I pray that you take care of his wife and daughter and his in-laws and all the things going on with the health issues concerning that. And Lord, we're asking that you bring people to our church. Lord, I'm asking that you work in my life and the people's lives about inviting people. And Lord, that we would see a revival in our own hearts first so it can be effective to our church. Lord, help us to be revived and help our spirits to be revived. In Jesus' name, amen. Just a few more we're going to mention here tonight. The next one is for people that are unsaved. So, will thou not revive us that thy people may rejoice? One of the greatest ways people rejoice in seeing true revival is when they're seeing people being effective and winning people to Christ. One of the things that encourages me most is when I get the opportunity to lead someone to Christ. It's an exciting thing. Paul's passion was, brother, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. They might be saved. So we're going to go, if there's someone you know that they're unsaved and you're praying for them. We don't want any last names, but if you have someone that you're praying for that's unsaved and you'd like to mention their name, so that way while we're praying that people be saved, we're going to have you do that. So is there anybody that'd like to mention the name of someone they're praying on this side over here? Miss Lydia?
Sherry?
Brother Jim? That's fine. Just first names.
Right. Harold, David, Whitney, and Ron.
Amen. So you can write these down if you like to. So when we're praying, you can pray specifically for them. Or you can try to remember as many people as possible. Anybody else like to mention somebody? Miss Carol?
Cheryl, Bobby, and Katie.
Bob, Cheryl, Bobby, and Katie. Anybody else on this side? Miss Carol? The other Miss Carol? Amelia and David. Mr. Bob? Ronnie? Connie? Donnie. Donnie, excuse me. I'm sure there's a Connie and Ronnie that need it too, but Donnie for Mr. Lee. Anybody else over here on this side? Mr. Humbert? That's fine. The Lord knows. So be praying for some more for Mr. Humbert, Lee, and Bill. Anybody in this section? Somebody they'd like to mention? Miss Linda? Ricky and Danielle? Miss Sherry? Arlene and Jody? How about over here? Anybody like to mention somebody that they know? Max? Mitchell? Anybody else over here like to mention anybody? Miss Mita? Martha. Okay. Miss Barbara?
Mark,
Matthew, Geraldine, and did I say them all?
Brianne.
Okay. So Mark, Matthew, Geraldine, and Brianne. The other, Miss Barb, did you? Lily? So once again, I know you're not going to remember all those names, but we should all have someone. We all should have someone we're praying for and someone we're interested in seeing saved. Miss Rochelle? Miss Shirley? Johnny and William. And I know some of us might say, well, I don't know a person's heart. I don't know if they're truly a Christian or not. It's okay to be praying for them and praying that the Lord work in their hearts. And if they are someone who's saved, that God would do something in their heart. Anybody else like to mention Robin? Excuse me?
Dennis and Eric.
Dennis and Eric. Okay. Be praying for any young people in the back that may not know Christ. Be praying for anybody in this room that may not know Christ. Never take anything for granted. So let's go ahead and go to the prayer time praying for people who are lost. And let me just be sincere. If you don't have somebody you're praying for on a regular basis to be saved and you're not trying to, ask God to give you a burden for them, because that's the most important thing in his heart he's left us here to do. We should have people that we're reaching out to. Not that you have to say their names out loud, but there should be somebody that we are trying to do our best to see saved. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you tonight and we consider the reason why you left us here, the commission you've given us, and the purpose of the church. Lord, I know it's not just in winning people to Christ, but that's supposed to be one of the main goals to keep in the forefront. I know discipleship is a process, being part of a church family, all those different things. But Lord, I pray for those in this room that do not have a burden for lost souls. those in this room that can go days and weeks, maybe even months, without sharing the gospel and not bother them. Where I know that there's times in my heart and my life it's not as in the forefront like it should, and Lord, I want to do better. And Lord, I'm asking for your help to give us a burden for those that do not know you. Lord, remind us once again of the great commission that you've given us. I think about all the people who just mentioned a few names, and Lord, obviously we don't know many of them, but Lord, we know that, thankful that there are people praying for those that will come to know you as Savior. Lord, help them not just be praying, help them to be willing servants, making themselves available to bring Christ into these people's lives. We know it's not us that do the work. Lord, we understand it's the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, help us to be faithful, to have that burden like Paul did. It was his heart's desire. And Lord, that we would have a passion to love the things that you love. And Lord, that we would see people saved and that we would see people's lives changed. Lord, the only way that you can, or by making them new creatures. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so next one is our country. As we pray for our country, there's just a whole bunch of needs. I think most of us know that. I think it's something that's good. He said, lost people, you know, the best way we're going to reach America is by winning more people to Christ, making more people Bible believers, becoming even more people knowing and understanding the truths and letting God live through them so they can reach more people, so they can reach more people. That's what's going to really make a difference here in America. Listen to what it says once again in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So as we're considering what's going to help our country, and there's a long list of things we can make that is going to help our country. But what the scripture is saying here, if we will humble, if we will pray, if we will seek his face, if we're willing to turn from our wicked ways, God's going to be willing to help our country. That's when believers do those things. So tonight, let's pray for our country. But as we pray, let's make sure that we ask God to make us the citizen that he wants us to be by making sure these things are all right and taking our part and doing our part about being spirit-filled and praying for our country. We only have a few more left, and then we'll take requests and we'll be done. Let's spend a minute or two praying for our country, praying for our leaders, which is scriptural, but also praying for the great needs of our country. Lord, I believe many people in this room would say they love America, love the beginning of America, all those different things that have happened over the years, and proud to be called an American. But God, we think of many times how everything evolves around America, but we know that America hasn't been here that long. You got a plan and purpose for this world. You used America in a lot of different ways to reach the gospel to so many different areas. Lord, help us to see the needs of our country and help us to understand it's not all about us, but Lord, what we can do to make a difference here in our country. And Lord, we see what those words say in 2 Chronicles 7:14, that we will apply them to our lives and just see what you will do. Love the story of Jonah, how they did what they felt like they should do in fasting and praying and getting right, and says, who can tell what God will do? Lord, I pray that we just be exactly what you want us to be as Americans and just leave the rest up to you. Who can tell what God can do or God will do? In Jesus' name, amen. So one last one, and there's a number of different things I thought about, but the last one the Lord led me to, and I know there's some other spots we could put in there. We could put missionaries in there talking about being Spirit-filled, and but the last one we're going to deal with tonight is our families. And the Lord has kind of burdened my heart a little bit today, number one, for Christian families, and number two, for families that are affected by wicked living. You know, we want believers, and we want strong Christian homes. Strong Christian homes, strong Christians are going to make strong Christian homes, which are going to make strong Christian churches, which is going to make a Christian nation. But it begins in the family. So we pray that husband and wives understand and know their roles, accept them, and do what God's called them to do. Don't shy away from it. Children, all those different things. You know, children are a heritage unto the Lord. But then the Lord kind of spoke to my heart a little bit about the families that are affected by a lot of unsaved parents or wicked parents, people that are living ungodly, and the kids that are at a home and things like that. And even sometimes in Christian homes when people are not living right, how the children are adversely affected. So I think praying for our homes and praying for families and praying for the children or the next generation, and it's huge. I think it's something that's important. The Bible says, Psalms 145:18, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. So I want to encourage you tonight, let's spend a few minutes praying for our own family specifically, whatever role God's given us, whether it's mom, dad, aunt, uncle, grandma, grandpa, son, daughter, whatever, to make sure that we're right with them, that we're doing right in those relationships. But pray for those families that our Christian families, that they will be strong building blocks for the future of America and for our churches. But pray for those families that do not know Christ and for those kids that many times they're in real darkness, and unless someone's willing to reach out to them, they're not going to know the truth. And I think about families that are hurting. I think about even Christians that have fallen into sins, and people like to mock them, but they don't even think the husbands or wives or kids that are left behind that hurt, and praying for our families. Let's pray for our families. Then we'll have a time of taking your requests, and we'll have one final closing time in prayer and praying for those needs. God, there are a lot of families that are hurting today. Thankful for those families that love you, that are faithful to church, that are reading the Bible and praying together. Not perfect, but producing young people that love the Lord, mates that enjoy fellowshipping and working together, loving you and serving you. But all around us, we see families that are hurting. We see the divorce rate that is crazy, even amongst Christian believers. Or we see the challenges some people have of raising their children, making them obey, taking their role seriously. God, our families need you. We see sometimes families that do not know you and parents that are not caring about their children, and many times unsaved parents that these kids are just falling to be part of a system. Lord, help us to reach out to them. Help us to reach out to our Samaria. Lord, help our families. Help our Christian families. Help husbands and wives that are struggling with one another. Help kids that are struggling with obeying and honoring their parents. Help parents that are struggling with provoking their kids to anger and not loving their children as they should. Help grandparents to care more about being a godly example than being well-liked. Help grandchildren to want to try to reach even their grandparents that might not know you. Lord, speak to our hearts about families. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I know it's a little bit of a different time when it came to our prayer time tonight. I hope you enjoyed it. And I don't want to seem like I'm being ugly or harsh, but if we struggle with praying for little bits of time like that, then there's something wrong with our walk with the Lord. And not condemning you, just telling you we should work on it. When people are so, fleshly, that they can't spend any quality time alone with God, there's something that needs to change in our lives. And we've all been there before, and we've all struggled with that before, probably, and it's something we just need to work on. So we're going to have a request time. We're not going to do a five-minute prayer time for our request. We're just going to take the request, and we're going to pray for them, and then we're going to be dismissed. But do you have any special requests you'd like to mention? Anything like we normally